America Meditating Radio Show. We collect wisdom, inspire each other, and empower hearts on demand 24/7. Hi everyone, I'm Sister Jenna, host of the syndicated America Meditating Radio. We bridge divides, we seek deeper meaning, and we answer life's most compelling questions from experts around the world. Because in a world of uncertainty and division within and out, we will need answers right here, right now. Join me and guests on America Meditating Radio, a show for everyone to learn more about this amazing thing called life. Hello, everyone. Welcome to America Meditating Radio. That was Paul Leftnegger, one of our very dear friends, and he's coming out with a new release, a new album entitled Faith. And you have to get ready for that one. It's going to be out on September 22nd, the day after International Day of Peace. And it's very, very moving, especially now where we are grappling with a lot of various scenes that are forcing us to go inwards, and they are actually forcing us to wake up, to become more accountable, to push ourselves forward, to perhaps move into a life of bliss rather than a life of chaos and tragedy and disappointment. There are times that we lose something in life, and it can be very difficult. But in reality, the loss is directing us deeper inside of ourselves to find a treasure or a natural innate gift that we've not been using. Perhaps a gift that we have compromised due to some external influence, or what I would always call it, external maya. It looks good on the outside, but in reality, it really doesn't serve the spirit. And it's tragic, you know, that people to whom we give a pretty fair amount of responsibility for our societies or even for our social well-being, you know, really ever really get to sit down and have real honest conversations about their own dreams and hopes and fears and concerns or even personal challenges that they're dealing with. And the consequence is, like, people who we look up to and maybe count on might be very isolated human beings and could be suffering a great deal privately in their own private space. We don't need to think of them as suffering because they seem to be in a position of power, but just imagine being around an individual that we see on television all the time or hear a lot about all the time, and we can immediately perhaps observe that, you know, they're going through a lot of their own personal changes. I know that for me, when individuals get a chance to spend a great deal of time with me, and I try my best not to project on anyone any sort of an image of perfectionism. I don't believe in it. I believe in authenticity. That I always, I'm marveled by their perception of what an individual who's on the path of their own spiritual enlightenment are to be for them. And I think when I look at the concept of bliss, I look at it as moments of experiences that we capture. We get glimpses of our bliss. And those glimpses of bliss are triggers to remind us that ultimately there is a very deep part of our being that has that level of illumination. And that can help us to have a better world, to look towards a better self and, of course, a better world. And it can help us feel safe. Right now, the vibration and the culture around the nation and the world at large, a lot of folks just don't feel safe anymore. And if you don't feel safe, you certainly can't feel like you're in your bliss. Stay tuned. We're going to be having a heart-to-heart conversation with Dr. Diana Robb, who's writing for Bliss. Now, before we go to Diana, we want to do what we do best here on the American Meditating Radio. Enjoy our meditations together. And as you know, I've released a new album last week, which is entitled There's a Phone in the Studio. We released a new album last week entitled Inclusion Revolution. I met a wonderful young man who's a hip-hop artist and decided to commission him to produce the music on some of my meditations. And everyone was saying to me, "Oh, Sister Jenna, you could choose anyone else." I said, "I'm sure." But this is about inclusivity. I don't know what goes on in the hip-hop community. I don't even listen to hip-hop music. And all I know about hip-hop music is that usually it can be very rough, very harsh, and I tend to move away from it. But to what extent have I even understood the people behind hip-hop? And so Joe Robb produced some beautiful music, and I have to tell you, his father was brutally murdered, and he decided to put his music, his pain into music, and he also has decided to not repeat some of the things that the stereotypes and the PR campaign of African Americans have been portrayed in the country. And he also has, I'm having one of those moments, a degree in communications and computer science, sorry. He also has a degree in computer science. So sometimes we also might even think that, you know, oh, well, you know, is this? And I'm telling you, the stereotypes that we walk around with, the perceptions, the belief systems that we carry have really taken away our bliss. So my new album, Inclusion Revolution Together with Love, is to help us to break some of these perceptions and to break away from attachments and to really experience the bliss that we really are. So I hope you enjoy Free of Attachments from Inclusion Revolution. Take a deep breath. What if I no longer carried any attachments? Attachments about who I think I am or how someone else perceives me, or attachment to my country or my gender, attachment to a religion. What would it be like to be free of attachments to labels? And to simply be loving. So just for a little while, I invite you to let go of attachments. What if I was no longer attached to my name? How does it feel? Let go of your attachment to your gender. You're no longer a man or a woman. Let go of your titles, let go of your nationality, and experience yourself letting go of even your religion. Now let go of your body. If I don't have a name, a gender, a title, a nationality, a religion, or a body, then who would I think of? And who would think of me? It would be the Supreme Being that would think of me. And I would think of the Supreme. In this meditation, I invite you to sit in an experience of unlimited freedom and real inner power. Now gradually, observe how the soul feels as it puts back on the awareness of the body, nationality, the religion, the title, the gender, and the name. And bring through these labels your experience of being with the divine and feeling free and at peace with yourself. Om Shanti. Welcome back, friends. That was Free of Attachments from my latest album, Inclusion Revolution Together with Love. And we started out the show talking about the importance of freely turning inwards and amplifying our bliss, that for far too long we tend to look towards individuals who might be in a position of power and perhaps they're also struggling privately without us even knowing, and that they're not able to really have an honest conversation with themselves because generally they're alone and grappling with their own issues and afraid, maybe afraid for the world to see that they have a vulnerable side. And the irony towards world peace is the possibility of revealing your vulnerability so that you can give passage to your bliss to show. We are dealing with the repercussions of Charlottesville. There's still stuff percolating there. Houston is still got waters being flooded. Hurricane Irma is heading to the Caribbean and also on the Florida coastline. The question of DACA, the removal of a lot of immigrant children from the country, almost a million. And it continues. This vibration of consciousness, this vibration. And I know I think a lot of individuals just don't know how to deal with it, and they don't know how to tap into the bliss to overcome all of these things, because it just keeps coming. And each time I look at the scenes of what's emerging at a vibrational level, I see the only way out of this is an inward journey and upward. Joining us today is Dr. Diana Robb. She's a memorist, poet, essayist, blogger, educator, and award-winning author. Her new book, Writing for Bliss, A Seven-Step Plan for Telling Your Story and Transforming Your Life, will be her eighth book. And in her 40-year career, she has written thousands of articles and poems and is the editor of two anthologies, Writers on the Edge and Writers and Their Notebooks. Dr. Robb's two memoirs are Regina's Closet, Finding My Grandmother's Secret Journal, and Healing with Words, A Writer's Cancer Journey. She holds national writing workshops on writing for bliss and writing for healing and transformation. She is also a regular blogger for Psychology Today, Huffington Post, Psych Alive. Today we welcome Dr. Diana Robb to the America Meditating Radio. Hello, Dr. Robb. So glad that you could join us today. Thank you for joining us today.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's a pleasure to be here.
I know. You have quite an extensive history of writing, and I would love to know at what point you actually started to put those thoughts on paper. I think many of us started writing at a young age, but maybe we weren't sure it could ever manifest into something that could transform the lives of other people than our own. So, you know, what was it that got you into, you know, putting these thoughts on paper? Because I found that when I reread something that I've written, I don't know, it moves me. It really shifts something in me. Like, I'd say, did I write that?
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. Yeah, very interesting. And actually, I've been writing for over 5 decades, and I actually have my mother to thank for that. I was 10 years old, and my grandmother was my caretaker, and she had committed suicide in my childhood home. You know, it was an overdose of sleeping pills. It wasn't dramatic, but I was the one who found her, and I was very traumatized at the time. And my mother was an English major, and she went out and bought me a Cahill Gibran journal.
I love that book.
Isn't
that
it amazing?
My all-time favorite book. That's what got me on my spiritual path. Khalil, I'm telling you.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Well, he had this red leather journal with sayings of his on the top of each page, and my mother said, I know you're in pain, and I really don't know what to do. I'm having my own, you know, issues with pain, and therapists weren't very big back then, so she said, just write your feelings. And I sat in my walk-in closet and just wrote and wrote and wrote and wrote, and that was really the beginning of my spiritual life and also my writing life.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever, you know, whenever something was going on that I needed to work out or express, I would just reach for my journal. My journal became my best friend.
You know, the performer that I played, the singer that I played at the beginning of the show, Paul Leftenegger, fantastic human being. His father committed suicide, and his father's father committed suicide. And it's quite a language, because it's quite a conversation, and it's quite an experience. And I think unless you've been through it, where you are the one that actually finds a loved one who basically was suffering for a long time, that's not a thought or a decision that you just wake up one morning and decide to do without knowing that you've been grappling with the meaning of your life or the purpose of your life's existence. And it's a hard place, and it's a hard experience. But what did you learn from that experience? What did it teach you as you were growing through, you know, all that that memory, to either get rid of the memory, merge the memory, or use the memory as a tool to move you towards your better self. Is there any main things that stood out for you after that?
Well, it's interesting because September is Suicide Awareness Month, so it's
An
interesting topic.
Yeah.
I think when we're kids, we don't really understand what's going on. We kind of roll with the punches, if you will. And so I really didn't realize the impact of that event, other than I lost someone I loved, until, 30 or 40 years later. And it was actually when I went back from my MFA and I was working on a thesis, and they said, what would you like to work on? I said, I really want to study my grandmother's life. She was an orphan in World War I, and I wonder if something happened to her that led to, her suicide. And I had just gone through my first bout with cancer, and I thought, well, maybe she had cancer. So I started writing, and this is the way a lot of writers start, is I had questions. I had so many questions I wanted answered. So what I found out in the writing process is, she was just traumatized from childhood, basically, and I think that's often case is that we just can't let go of it. Trauma lives in our cells. It lives in our psyche.
Yeah.
It lives, so I think she was just traumatized by being orphaned at the age of 11. And then coincidentally, she died when I was about 10 or 11. And it was also at the time when I became independent. And so I didn't need her much anymore. And I think she was feeling that loss of not being needed. So I realized that she didn't really have a role in life, and she didn't have a passion.
Wow.
I was her passion.
Wow, what a powerful story. It moves me on to your book, Writing for Bliss, a 7-step plan for telling your story and transforming your life. What's the inspiration behind that? Because right now we seem to have a lot of stories that we need to tell, but do we get to our bliss even after or during telling those stories?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. Mm-hmm. Well, what inspired me was, I was teaching a lot of workshops on writing for healing, and a lot of my participants said, I love your courses, but they're ending, and is there something you can put together so that I could have them take home with me? And so it was really my workshop participants that inspired me to write the book, because I have been sharing my passion for writing for a very long time, and so I'm just happy to have it together in one book at this point.
Mm, beautiful. Tell us a little bit about what our readers can expect in your new book.
Well,
give us a sneak preview.
This is a little preview. Well, the 7 steps are pretty straightforward. The book is considered a language arts book, but it's also / a body, mind, spirit book, because I do tap into cultivating self-awareness, certain techniques like setting intentions, meditation, creative visualization, hypnosis, understanding your dreams. And what I'm truly doing in the book, my real goal is to give people permission to tell their story, to tell the truth, to tap into their inner voice, their authentic voice, to listen to their hearts as a way towards bliss. A lot of people start writing because of pain, but sometimes just getting it on the page is just helpful and healing enough to lead them and help them to heal. I'm not really promising my reader, but I'm inspiring my reader, and I've gotten a lot of really great reviews already, that I'm really giving you permission to tell your story. A lot of people are afraid to tell their story.
Right.
And so this is kind of the way to bliss, we hope.
I hope so. What is bliss to you? What is the definition?
What is bliss to me?
Mm-hmm.
I see bliss as sort of a natural direction that we take in order to maximize our sense of joy and sense of fulfillment. I see it also as more powerful than happiness. Sometimes people equate bliss with a state of euphoria, but really it's about learning to figure out and understand what brings you joy and what is your calling in life. Mythologist and writer Joseph Campbell coined the phrase follow your bliss, which is really another way of saying listen to your heart and your inner voice.
Yes, which is not always easy. I did the strangest thing today. You're going to laugh. But I literally didn't go on anything that was technology for hours today, which meant I didn't pick up the phone, I didn't look at my messages, I didn't go online. I just listened to the birds and took it easy and tapped into the soul's true story. And Dr. Rob, it was two different stories. The one with the technology and the internet had another narrative, and the one without it was deep. It was complete. It had everything. It gave me clarity of what I can do better. Does that make any sense? Like, how do we know it when we can listen to our story, you know?
No, I'm proud of you. That's a wonderful
today.
It's just wonderful to do that. And why today? Why did you decide today?
I have no idea. Just one of those days. It was just one of those days.
Yeah, you know, I just got back from Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and talk about tapping into nature. You know, I think nature can just do that to us. Also, you mentioned listening to the birds, and, you know, there are birds, you know, not too far out of cities. If you have to live in a city, you just, my son lives in New York, and he takes hour-long drives, and he's suddenly in the country, and it's healing. But that takes a lot of discipline, doesn't it?
It does. It does. And healing is a huge topic because we've been through so much. I mean, it doesn't even have to be where it was very, very traumatic. My mother had almost a similar sort of life like your grandmother, except she's still with me. But there are some traumatic experiences that some souls have gone through. But it doesn't mean that if I wasn't hurt by someone or deceived by someone that it wasn't traumatic for me too. And so as you said earlier, things are sitting in our cellular bodies. And healing is a huge topic. Our country needs healing. We need healing. Our leadership needs healing. You've done a lot of research on this, of healing and transformation. How easy, is it easy for us to really get onto the path of healing ourselves and actually feeling well?
I don't think anything's easy in life. I think we have to desire, we have to want to transform, we have to have, perhaps some people have to feel enough pain in order to make that decision, okay, this is it. Maybe they have to, you know, if they have a health issue, maybe they, you know, have something traumatic that becomes life-changing. I think life-changing situations help us turn the corner, help us turn the page into a new chapter of healing. Because it's not that easy to just suddenly, sometimes people don't even realize that they need healing.
Yeah, this is the hardest one.
They're trucking along in their lives, and they're doing this, and they're doing that, and they're busy, and then their body at one point perhaps will tell them, oh, you need to slow down. You need to, I don't like using cliches, but stop and smell the roses. stop and listen to the birds.
I know, you know what? Diana, it's really that simple, but we've moved so far away from it that we're always looking for some complicated solution to our problems, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So have you stopped and smelled the roses? I guess when you were in Jacksonville, you said you did that, and so then you're back in your regular routine. Are you still smelling the roses, or you're back to your routine?
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, I do. I begin every day with a meditation, and that gives me a chance to sort of regroup and think of my intentions for the day. You know, I try to do gratitude journaling sometimes in the morning, sometimes at the end of the day. And it's not a lot of journaling. It just could be just a list of what I'm thankful for today. And I think that makes a real big difference. I'm lucky that my office overlooks a little garden. And so I do have my little hummingbirds here in California that come and visit and dragonflies. And I went, thank you, guys. Guys, this is perfect.
You Californians are so spoiled.
I
think you all are. You have the best weather. What's the main message that you really would like for the readers of your book, Writing for Bliss, to take away?
The message is that we should stop and, you know, slow down our lives in the sense that we, and then write about it and sharing stories. I think that's what we're all here for, is to share our stories. So either you write your stories or share them through storytelling in circles. Mm-hmm. The main message really is have no fear. Have no fear to share your story. Fear is a huge factor for some people. And just let it rip is what I say. Just let it rip on the page. You know, you don't have to share your stories. You can share it with your journal or you can share it with people. But I think just getting it out of our system is very important.
I guess
whatever
that's
way
where
feels comfortable.
That's where back in the days in the church, confession was really good for you.
You know, because I think a lot of us walk around feeling a little bit ashamed as to how our life has turned out, or perhaps the choices that we made, we regret, or we privately hold them in secret, you know, hoping that no one will find out. And there's something in the release of those thoughts, whether it's on paper, with a trusted friend, with a therapist that you pay $500 an hour for, depending on how good they are. Or really, something that I got from Oprah, she said, I just pay attention. I pay attention to what I'm thinking and what's happening around me. And by doing so, there's less debris that I'm picking up along the way. And so I find in a lot of those thoughts and ideas very valuable. So is there a book tour coming up? Is there a place that we can hunt you down and hear more of your beautiful, juicy wisdom?
Well, I'm kind of doing a very casual book tour. I'm going to places only where I know people so they can bring hordes of people with them.
Smart.
So I have two daughters. One is in Fort Lauderdale and one is in New York, and a son also in New York. And so I'm visiting those cities mainly, but I'm also going up to Seattle to the Hugo House. I go wherever I'm called. So people can visit my website, dianarab.com, and there's events listed on my event calendar. And I'm waiting for invitations for anybody that's interested in either me giving a workshop or doing a book signing.
Oh, that's really beautiful. Well, look, you're welcome to beautiful Washington, D.C. when you're on this side of the town.
Okay, thank you very much, Sister Jenna.
Could you leave us with a blissful message for America right now and for all of our lives in this nation? The vibrations are so intense, and I know that many of my brothers and sisters who are so innocent to subtle consciousness and vibrations, they are just walking through that like not sure what's going on. What's your wish for our country and our people?
My wishes are positive thinking. Think positive thoughts and don't focus on the negative. And find your bliss. Find what makes your heart sing. Reach out for it. We all know what makes our heart sing. We just sometimes ignore it. You have to stop and think about what brings you joy and seek out those moments more often in your life.
Love that. Dr. Diana Robb, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Mm-hmm.
Have a blessed day. Have a blissful day.
I will. Thank you.
Thank you, Sister Jenna. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There's so much to share. Dr. Diana Robb's new book, Writing for Bliss, a 7-step plan for telling your story and transforming your life. You can find out more information at DianaRobb.com. She said something that touched me, you know. Someone could be dying of cancer, but also in its own way, emotionally and mentally, are we dying of our own spiritual cancer? Really being detached from our true stories. I mean, there's so much going on. And what can we do to really salvage what amount of energy we've got left? We need to be in bliss. We do need to live a life of aliveness rather than of nothingness. So thank you for joining us today. Remember, no one can take away your joy, your happiness, unless you give them permission. Please get a copy of Inclusion Revolution, which you can find on CD Baby. Just Google Inclusion Revolution Together with Love by Sister Jenna, and we look forward to you supporting the album, because $1 goes to every album sold, $1 will go to the Harvey Relief Fund in Houston, Texas. And I hope we won't have to add another $1 of donations to Miami, Florida with Hurricane Irma. Sending a lot of good wishes to everyone out there today and wishing you all safe travels and safe living. Today's show is supported by the St. Thomas Aquinas College. It's a beautiful university that's offering a holistic, complete approach for maybe a better way of learning, teaching, educating, and creating a new group of individuals. I'm also pleased to mention our new addition to our show by Dr. Diane Tillman, a psychologist who talks and helps our children to understand themselves better. And here is Diane Tillman, talking about nurturing our kids and teaching our kids some new ideas and new ways of understanding what's going on in these times. Thank you. Good morning. This is Diane Tillman, the author of Nurturing with Love and Wisdom, Disciplining with Peace and Respect, a Mindful Guide to Parenting.
This morning I would like to focus on the importance of play in us time. I hope all of you can remember many wonderful times of play. Play is said to be the work of a child. It's important for their growth, physically, emotionally, socially, emotionally, even spiritually. As we all know, it's a time of joy, to have freedom, to feel full of the self. And it can also be a time to heal from traumatic experiences where children can work out their emotions. But today I would like to focus on us time. That is quality time for 15 or 20 minutes a day, listening to your child with full attention or playing with your child. Be they toddlers or teens, this us time is so important. All children want and need love. If they're not getting a sufficient amount of parental time and attention, they will misbehave or engage in an excessive behavior in an effort to draw attention. I remember a mother that came to me about the incessant talking of her 8-year-old daughter. She told me that her child talked to her most of the time. She would even stand at the kitchen door and talk to her mother as she cooked. And I asked the mother, "Do you ever listen?" The mother looked down and then said, "No." I asked her if she would spend 15 minutes of us time every day with her daughter, simply giving her complete attention, listening to her carefully, and enjoying her. She said yes. We talked about how her daughter might want to talk sometimes and might want to play at other times. But whatever they did, the purpose was to give her full, loving attention. The mother came to see me the next week. I asked her how it was going, and she said, "Wonderfully well." The child had reduced her talking about 80%, and they were both very much enjoying us time together. I would like to suggest that us time and play or listening with your child is essential. Sometimes our world gets very hurried and we can regard it as a non-essential. But it's essential for many reasons. Playing with children sustains a loving bond and adds to the joy of the relationship for you and the child. It's a time when you can enjoy being mindful and stress-free without pressure. You can even allow peace, love, or contentment to flow through your mind. Us time is important to our fulfillment as parents, but it's also important to your relationship with the child and the child's feeling of belonging. It lets children know that they're important to us. Listening to children builds their self-respect. Play creates and sustains a quality relationship of love, happiness, and closeness. I also feel that as time helps children feel and stay safe in this world as they grow older, because they know they can always come to you. There is that daily time when they can voice their concern. And this helps them be safe because you want them to be able to voice any concerns if troubles arise. As time nurtures and protects. Have a wonderful day. This is Diane Tillman, the author of Nurturing with Love and Wisdom, Disciplining with Peace and Respect, A Mindful Guide to Parenting.
That's so incredible, Diane. I just love what you're offering in these segments. Thank you so much. I'm going to end today's show with Dreamweaver from our friend Gary Wright, an oldie but goodie. Take care, everyone.
I'll be